Hello everyone, this is Samuel Wilkins coming to you from Gillingham, Kent in England, and today I want to talk about something which is very serious. Software cracking. I want to spend the next 6 minutes talking about why you should not crack, how we can stop it, and why it is important to both visually impaired and fully sighted people. Now for starters, what is software cracking? Software cracking is the modification of a piece of software to remove protection methods such as copy protection, trial/demo version, serial number, hardware key, CD check, and software annoyances such as nag screens and adware. Is it legal to crack software? It certainly is not. It is illegal in all developed countries to crack software and to distribute the cracks. Because what people tend to do is when they've cracked it, they tell their friends about the program and how to crack it, who tell their friends, who tell their friends, and so on, until it is put on the internet. What's worse is that there have been sites on the internet that allow you to download cracks for programs. But why do people crack? Well, there might be several reasons for it. The most obvious one I can think of is they don't want to pay for the software and they want to find an easier way of getting it. Now, how do people crack software? The most common method of software cracking is the modification of a program's binary to cause or prevent a specific key branch in its execution. This is accomplished by reverse engineering the compiled program code using a debugger such as SoftICE until the software cracker reaches the subroutine which contains the primary method of protecting the software, or by disassembling an executable file using a program such as IDA. The binary is then modified with the debugger or a hex editor in a manner that replaces a prior branching opcode with its complement or an NOP opcode, so the key branch will either always activate a specific subroutine or skip over it. Now, almost all software cracks are a variant of this method, and software developers are constantly finding more ways of making software cracking more and more difficult. And I believe if you continue to crack freely, you're walking into very deep water. And for some people, they are walking out of their depths. And I must admit that I did crack 2 programs, but after I had cracked them, I reverted back to the demo version of those programs. And I don't want to crack any more because I don't want to put my ISP or internet service provider at risk, and I certainly don't want to put myself at risk. And now you might be asking, but does software cracking have any hazards in it? Well, some pieces of software do have countermeasures against cracking. For example, some spyware removal tools have been coded so that if cracked, the program will have a malicious payload, such as a DOS or denial of service daemon. Other programs might have countermeasures against cracking, which can cause long-term damage to data that has been created by the program. An example of this is a piece of expensive engineering software which requires a dongle to operate. Once it has been cracked, a document will start to get damaged over time, and the damage will get worse and worse the more you use the program until eventually the document is unreadable. The programmer can provide a method to fix the damage, provided that the customer pays a fee and obtains a fully licensed product. And I suggest to any software developers who are listening to this that they take into account what I have said and put some countermeasures in their programs against cracking. Now you might be asking, but what's this got to do with blind and partially sighted people? Well, there are many blind and partially sighted people, especially teenagers, who are cracking pieces of software. Many of these are games, but some crack other pieces of software, such as sound editors. But they don't crack software in the method that I described. What happens is, since some programs for blind and partially sighted people don't have copy protection, what they tend to do is someone obtains a fully licensed copy and unlocks it, but What happens then is they start giving out the registration key to their friends, who tell their friends, and so on, until it is eventually on the internet. And as I said, I suggest to any software developers who are listening to this to put countermeasures in their software. And as I said, there are several sites which do allow you to download cracks. And that's basically my tutorial on why you should not crack software. I hope this tutorial has helped software developers consider taking action against cracking. If you want to contact me, my email address is cleverclogs, cleverclogs, at gwilkins, gwilkins, .co.uk. If you want to contact me on Skype, my username is cleverclogs6953. If you want to contact me on Windows Live Messenger, my address is cleverclogs@passport.com. And if you want to contact me on AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name is Samuel4851. That's Samuel4851.